Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Ho, ho, bottle of rum. I really mean it. This is the holiday show. Here it is, Gianna. I mean, if it were Thanksgiving, we'd bring above, like, big blimps or something. We don't have that. This is very Christmassy.
Yeah.
So we're just going to be playing the role of Santa Claus. Gianna is appropriately dressed, by the way. You look so Christmassy.
I'm like Mrs. Claus, kind of, with my red
sweater.
You
look so Christmassy.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to the Damon Bruce Show. It's great to have you here. We're down at the Guardsman Tree Lot, and I'll tell you, I'm looking through the windows that we have here, and it looks like the sun has finally come out for the first time all day. It's been a little rainy, a little gray.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I understand that picking up a tree is something you want to do on a nice day, not on a day when it's raining. So we just want to let you know today that the Guardsman Tree Lot is officially open. For those of you who don't know what the Guardsmen are, it's a charity group. I'm thrilled to be a part of this group. And we raise money for Bay Area at-risk youth, sending thousands of kids to camp every summer and hundreds of kids to school, provided scholarship and educational opportunities that otherwise they just simply would not receive if it were left to their own devices. So we like to get involved. And I think charity is at its best when you're changing one life at a time. And that is something that we do here, and hopefully is something that you come and support by picking up a Christmas tree or a wreath or an ornament or coming to one of our events, the dinners that we're going to be having here. The huge tree lot party at the end of the year is always one of the best parties of the year in San Francisco. So we're at the Festival Pavilion in Fort Mason. It's down by the Marina Safeway, right off of Marina Boulevard. And please, come on down today. We're here until 7 o'clock. That's when the show is over. But the tree lot is open until 9 o'clock every night. And we're going to be here tonight and tomorrow. And then I'm going to come back and even work here on a Saturday because there's so much to do. So many people are picking up their trees this time of year. Gianna, it's your first time coming down here, laying your eyes on it. What do you think?
Oh, I'm so impressed with the amount of trees, first of all. So whatever you have in mind for your Christmas decorations, you'll find it here, from little trees to very, very big trees. And I just love how it's set up. It's so holiday-ish. They've got bouncy houses for the kids.
Yes.
You can bring the whole family.
And
make it an event.
Look, I understand when someone says, come on down to the tree lot, it sounds like you're being invited to an abandoned gas station that has like a wire fence around it.
Right, not
this
at
is
all.
Our That's not what we're doing down here. It really is a nice, like, little slice of Christmas just waiting for you. So come on down, bring the family, bring your kids, bring the friends, bring the dog. Got to keep the dog on the leash. But otherwise than that, everyone's welcome down here. Hopefully you come on down and support a very good charity that has been around San Francisco since 1947.
That's awesome.
This tree lot has been open in every single year since 1947. So I knew we were going to outlast the Niners, and sure enough, we did. 888-957-9570. Enough with all the pleasantries in the holiday, even though we will get back to that. I'm sure tomorrow we'll be giving away a tree or two, a wreath or two,
wow,
that sort of thing. Absolutely. But we got to start with what is the most unbelievable story we've seen come through Bay Area sports in a real long time. You know, the individual effort that we saw from Madison Bumgarner was like something we really haven't seen before. We're almost mirroring that with Steph Curry's individual effort here and the overall team success that has led the Warriors to 20 straight wins to open this season. We're going to get a champion every year. Every year the NBA will name an MVP. Every year somebody is going to be doing something a little bit better, a little bit more exciting than the way you remembered it. It's just part of the evolution of the game, and it's part of the cyclical nature of the game. You crown a champion, you name an MVP. Rinse, wash, repeat. Happens every year. we may never see a stretch of basketball like this again in our lifetimes. And that's not me doubting the good basketball that's going to be coming up for us in the lifetimes. It just cannot get better than this. I don't know if we're ever going to see a team start 20 straight wins in a single season ever again. And what is happening here is it's beyond special. It's beyond curious. It's beyond phenomenon. It's an actual event. Like, it's a happening in the world of Bay Area sports. There's never been anything quite like this. And, you know, I don't know how long they could keep it up. The most exciting thing to me, really, about the Warriors, if you ask me, what is the singular most exciting thing about the Warriors? It's not the title that they've already got in the bank. It's not what Steph Curry's doing. It's not how good they are right now. It's how good they look to be, like, for the next decade. That's what's so exciting about the Warriors. It seems that they have now a skill set that other teams are going to try to copy, and it feels like everyone's going to be coming up short. I had a big story here today from USA Today, it might be Sports Illustrated, where LeBron James is already talking about how, like, the championship clock is ticking. It's ticking right now in the city of Cleveland. Well, it's not just him and his aging process that has that clock ticking. It's officially the Warriors look like they're going to be the team to beat for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. This looks almost unstoppable. Now, we're not naive. I can tell you right now that throughout the history of sports, sports has a very good track record denying teams their destiny, denying what you think is about to be a dynasty. Sports does that all the time, and it's really why we show up to watch. This is something that no one can deny. We are watching history, and it will continue when they get to Toronto. They play the Raptors on Saturday. They've got a back-to-back and visit the Brooklyn Nets Sunday. Tuesday next week, they're at the Indianapolis Pacers. The 7-game road trip, which now they're 2-0 on, continues, and it gets a little rough. They get through this stretch. It's almost unheard of. It's never happened, a 7-0 road trip in the NBA. If it does happen, their next 5 games are at home. I mean, where does this go if it goes through the road trip? It's really, really unbelievable. We got so much for you today. A lot of happening in Major League Baseball. That's why Bob Nightingale is going to join us a little bit later on this hour. Rusty Simmons on all things Golden State at 4:15. We're going to talk for the first time this season of 49er running back Sean Drone. He joins us from inside the 49er locker room. That's coming up at 5 o'clock today. We're going to be taking it to the tweets a little bit later on. And it's all coming to you live from the Guardsman Tree Lot down at Fort Mason. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. The holidays are officially here. I heard the button vixen, who's very, very lonely, back in the studio. We're all here. Except for the bouton vixen, which is French for button vixen. Elena's all alone. We will warm the cockles of her heart with a little holiday music so she can feel the holiday cheer that we're experiencing down here at the Guardsman Tree Lot. Hopefully something you're coming down to see as well. We're just getting rolling here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show. Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
I gotta be honest with you. I mean, we pulled out all the stops for this one. I mean, we got the voice guy participating. We have promotions officially participating in this remote. The Welshman is making what I would herald as a triumphant return.
Yes,
to
is.
The broadcast. Good to have you back, Welshman. I really mean it. Good to see you again, man. Welcome back. Yeah, Danny's always here. We get, we even get a laugh track. Oh, Nagai. Sushing to you. I can tell you what. We lost Nori Aoki, but we still got you, buddy. That's what's important. That's what really matters. Nori Aoki. Gone.
Yep.
It's going to be a Seattle Mariner. You know, there's an awful lot happening in baseball that isn't a massive, massive contract for David Price. There's a little wrinkles happening with the Oakland A's, and we're going to have Bob Nightingale on next from the USA Today to talk about all these little things that are happening in baseball. But Nori Aoki is going to be a Seattle Mariner, and you know, it's too bad that he, number one, didn't stay healthier last year, and I also gave him the, other than Hunter Pence, who also was so hurt, we hardly ever saw him last year, it felt like, Nori Aoki was the best Giants at-bat to watch. He was so fun to watch in the box. He had a really quick, active bat. He was just pesky. He was frustrating. He was a good little at-bat. He really, really was. I'm going to miss watching Nori Aoki take his at-bats. And, I mean, I feel like we hardly got to know him. I miss him already.
Gone too soon.
Gone too soon. Gone too soon. Hashtag never forget. We've got an awful lot. There's Matt Del Carlo, future mayor of San Francisco. If San Francisco ever bends Republican, he'll be the one. In other words, he'll never be mayor.
I was like, good luck with that.
But I wish you very good luck with your stump speech. Matt Del Carlo, you'll be seeing him on a Republican ballot soon here in the Bay Area. I got to just sneak this in before we get to the Warriors here. It's really hard for a coach to step away from a football team, right? It is. It's a little easier, I guess, when you're fired. And Mark Richt was basically let go at the University of Georgia. He met with the team to tell them that he was not going to remain with the team. I guess they extended him the opportunity to stay at Georgia through the bowl game if he wanted to coach them in the bowl game. So I see this from Chad Simmons, who writes for a national recruiting analyst, and I just saw this on Twitter. Rick walked into the Georgia team meeting to tell them he was not going to be coaching them in the bowl game, and the reason why is because he's just been named head coach at Miami. Didn't take Mark Richt very long to find another job. As soon as Richt walked into the meeting room, the entire Georgia Bulldog football team got out of their seats and everybody with their hands put up the U and started chanting about the U for Mark Richt.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, I think. So they celebrated with him. That lasted a few minutes. He then finally told the team that his phone number is not about to change. He'll always be there for them, that he loved them. And he left by saying that life is about people, not rings. He said, rings collect dust. Well, how would he know? He needs a ring. Nah, I'm not going to be a jackass. I swear to God. Anyways, a lot of emotions and tears in the meetings. And it went very, very well. Everything you hear about Mark Richt, he's a class act. He's a very good football coach. He's a class act. He's one of the few guys that is really Jesus-y, whose level of religion doesn't bother me at all. Like, he gets away with it because he's not heavy-handed with it.
He doesn't push it at you.
No, he doesn't. He really does. It's not like a Dabo Sweeney preaching from his position. He's just an incredibly religious guy. They say that he could absolutely run for governor of the state of Georgia, and he would probably win. But he's not going to. He's going to be the head coach at the U. And I think, you know, he went to Miami. He's a Miami alum originally, so I'd like to see the U wake back up again, because I'm friends with Uncle Luke on Twitter, and we could start having Uncle Luke interviews if the U is relevant again, because I do believe Luther Campbell is officially, like, their biggest booster and the face of Miami football in some crazy, crazy way. There's no doubt who the face of the Golden State Warrior is. It's Steph Curry. I mean, he has just been unbelievable. And I've been looking at some of the numbers here, and this is beyond impressive. Last night was his fifth 20-point quarter of the year, when he had 28 points in the third quarter. It's his fifth 20-point quarter of the year. Three of those have come in the third quarter, including last night. Curry's at his best in the third quarter this season. If you took all of his points and chopped it down to percentages, he scores 29.2% of his points in the first quarter, 16.3% of his points in the second quarter, 37.8% of his points in the third quarter, 16.4% of his points in the fourth quarter, and of all the points he scored, 0.3 of those points came in overtime. When you look at these numbers, there's a lot of different ways to, I guess, look at them and interpret them, but here's the way that I see them. The only thing that stops Steph Curry is his own rest. That's it. The only thing that slows Steph Curry down is his own rest. He usually plays almost the entire first quarter, and he usually comes out of the locker room in fuego. Second quarter comes around, He sits 5 to 6 minutes of the second quarter, almost like clockwork. That's his schedule rotation for rest in the first half. And then he comes back on the court about the 6.5, 7-minute mark of the second quarter and closes the second quarter. Then he usually plays almost all of the third, and may God have mercy on your soul if you tried to figure out a way at your halftime to slow him down, because it hasn't happened yet. He scored 242 points in just the third quarter alone this season. And his production's way down in the fourth quarter because he hardly ever plays. He hardly ever plays. The only thing that drops Curry's production is him not being on the court. You know, this is what Matt Steinmetz was talking about yesterday. Not only did we get to do a half an hour post with Matt, but I was also listening to him and Chris as I was driving home yesterday in the Sonnen Porsche Boxster, might I add.
Yeah, uh-huh. I saw that thing today.
That's not in a nice?
It's beautiful.
It's nice.
I'm a little jealous when I park next to it, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, oh, okay.
You don't like parking your Aston Martin next?
Yeah, that's because that's what I drive in Aston Martin, exactly.
But what they were talking about was some NFL or some NBA coach is going to have to figure out to do some way to slow down Curry. Like, they're not even challenging him yet. It's amazing that teams are letting Curry get off as many open shots as he does. It's amazing teams are letting Curry survive at the three-point line without a battle for the three-point line. And it's going to be a long, long season for everybody that plays against him, because nobody defends him. You cannot defend. The only way to defend Steph Curry, the only thing that drops his production, is his in-game rest. It's not the defense you're playing against him. It's not the scheme you came up with that night. The only reason why Curry isn't kicking your ass is because he's not in the game. The numbers spell it out. It's absolutely amazing what this guy is doing. We got Raiders and Chiefs to talk about. We got 49ers and Bears to talk about. You want to talk about the We Didn't Want to Be Here Bowl? That's pretty much what this game is in Chicago. Adam Gase? Nah. Vic Fangio? Nah. Didn't want to stick around. The We Didn't Want to Be Here Bowl will happen in Chicago. The Raiders and Chiefs renew their rivalry under circumstances that matter in the month of December for the first time in what feels like forever. And I'd like to send a listener to that game. They're looking for their sixth win of the year. Caller number six right now, 888-957-9570. Caller number six, 888-957-9570. I'm giving you a pair of tickets to the Raiders and Chiefs game. Good luck to you when we come on back. Draymond Green, top 10 player. I made the argument yesterday. I'm going to hammer it home again today here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show. Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, indeed, we're at the Guardsman Tree Lot here at the Festival Pavilion in Fort Mason. You can come on down and pick up everything you're going to need for the holiday that is coming towards you. These are all non-denominational trees, by the way. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. I don't care if you go Festivus for the rest of us, or you're straight Christmas, or you're just rocking Hanukkah all day and night long. 8 crazy days and nights. You can find something for whatever way your holiday door swings when you come on down to the Guardsman Tree Lot and support a great local cause to help a lot of kids get an opportunity to see the outdoors and experience some campership and then some scholarship and really turn, you know, some individual kids' lives around. That's what we try to do. Guy here on Twitter named Antonio says, D. Bruce, how can I be a certain caller if your lines are busy 25 hours a day? Hashtag want me some Raiders tickets. Well, keep on listening. We're going to have more opportunities for you to win Raider tickets today and tomorrow. We're going to have more pairs to give away, so you'll have other chances. But no, when we give away a pair of tickets, they go fast. That's how it goes. The lines aren't perpetually busy. They just feel like that sometimes when we're giving away tickets. Only the lucky get through, Gianna.
I know. It happens, though. Somebody has to win.
It happens. lightning
could be you.
Eventually hits someone.
That's true.
So keep on calling. Keep on listening, Antonio. Keep the spirits up. Thanks very much. 888-957-9570 is the number, and we're going to be taking actual sports calls, not begging for ticket calls, here just in a second. We got our intern David back at the studio, just like overwhelmed with blinking lights right now. We'll give him a little time to work on it. I was talking about Draymond Green yesterday. I did it at the end of the show, Gianna, and a couple buddies of mine who I went and met for the Duke beatdown of Indiana, which basically ruined December thoroughly for me. It just ruined the whole.
All done.
It's over. We might as well go right to 2016. But as we were sitting there in a really bad mood watching Indiana get throttled by Duke in the second half, a buddy of mine leaned over and he's like, you know, I was listening to your show today. Draymond Green, top 10 player in the NBA. Like, dude, come on. Come on. And I thought, all right. You know, it doesn't sound right. I'll admit, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. But I'm comfortable saying it. I really am. And then I thought about it even a little bit more today. I'm sure there might be a name or two you might replace. But the top 10 in the NBA, pretty much, I think you'll agree with me, sounds like this. Curry, LeBron, Durant, Davis, Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Harden, Cousins. That's eight names. Now, what I would like to do is, oh no, is that eight names? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names. That's okay. Nine names. Now, let's make any one of those names, make it Harden, make it Boogie Cousins. Let's say we're picking teams. We're picking a team of five guys. Here's what I know. Excuse me. Here's what I know. You can take those nine guys that I just told you about, you divvy them up any way you want. If in the 10th spot you add Draymond Green to either one of the teams, that's going to be the team that wins the pickup game of five. That's who Draymond Green is. While all these other guys are going to do razzly-dazzly things, Draymond Green's going to be right in the middle of the winning equation on the winning formula, on the winning team. And guess what? If you took DeMarcus Cousins over Draymond Green, well, DeMarcus will get guarded by Draymond Green, and he still can't follow him out to the three-point line to guard him. If you have Harden, well, Draymond can guard him. If you have LeBron, we saw Draymond guard him. If you have Anthony Davis, we saw Draymond Green eat him alive in the playoffs last year and already twice this year. If you go with Kevin Durant, I got Draymond Green to D him up as good as anybody can in the NBA. Russell Westbrook is about as fast as a human being playing basketball, much faster than Draymond Green. But he'll hang with him and he'll stay in front of him if he has to all game long. Draymond Green can guard all five positions pretty much better than anyone who is naturally guarding whatever their natural position is. And when you put him in the lineup of death and he's playing the center, he's the most efficient center in the NBA. Why isn't Draymond Green a top 10 player? It doesn't sound like it's normal. It doesn't sound like, oh yeah, I don't even have to think about that. I'll just agree with you, Damon. If you think about it, I'm telling you, you'll be able to convince yourself too. I'm convinced he is a top 10 player in this league. This is a guy who changes his game plan, his set of priorities, game in and game out, maybe more than any other player in the NBA. One night he's guarding a center. The next night he's guarding a wing. The next night he's guarding the backcourt. The next night he's playing man. The next night he's playing zone. Draymond Green can do it all. He can also help you on the offensive end and is shooting threes better than he ever has in his entire career. The guy's averaging almost a triple-double this season. If Steph can be compared to Michael Jordan without our collective eyes rolling, I don't know if we're that far away from saying, well, if Steph is like Jordan, then Draymond's kind of like his Scottie Pippen. Just a spider that can just stay in front of anything, rebound with anyone, score against anyone. And there's also this. He's the guy that keeps the team hungry and loose. He adapts to the situation so other guys can play to their own water level. This guy's the vocal leader of the best team in the NBA. But he's not on your top 10? That's why your team's not winning games. I'm serious. You go ahead. Curry, LeBron, Durant, Davis, Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Harden, Cousins. You put five guys on one team and four guys on another team. The team that then gets Draymond Green tacked on is the one that wins the pickup game between those two teams. That's why he's in the top 10. He does all the things that you don't see in a box score that you might have gone to make your argument about who should or shouldn't be in the top 10. He does things that cannot be measured. So, Draymond, all day, all night. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. He's been unbelievable. Oh, and by the way, Jerry West thinks he's a top 10 player. So there you go. Jerry West, his basketball opinion. I'll even go as far as to say this. Jerry West's basketball opinion carries just a little bit more water than mine. And that's saying something. He's the logo, for goodness sakes. I think we're going to go with what Jerry says. If Jerry says top 10, I'm not going to argue with him. I saw this list that Marcus Thompson put together. I don't know. Was this in the paper? Was this like full-page color splash in the paper? Bay Area News Group, bang, spending money on ink this week for a nice full-color copy. Some of the numbers that are in here behind this 20-0 start are absolutely unbelievable. There's so many different things you can choose from. It's like, how do you want to be impressed numerically by this team? Do you want to look at individual numbers, collective numbers? Do you want to have... Okay, let's just go back. How about this? Since hiring Steve Kerr, what do you think the Warriors' winning percentage is? It's 853. They got an 853 winning percentage since hiring Steve Kerr. Oh, and oh, by the way, he's not even here this year. The Warriors are creating a myth. And you know, myths are a little bit, you know, made up. It's make-believe. I don't care where the... 40 years from now, people are going to say, do you remember when the Warriors started with 211 consecutive wins? Like, we're going to remember the fish a lot bigger than it actually was. But what it actually is big enough to be one of the biggest myths ever told in basketball. It sounds like you're making it up. When you talk about this team and what they've done to win 20 in a row, when you talk about Steph's production, it sounds like you're reading stats off of somebody's, like, 2K16 account. It's all video game numbers. Actually, it's not true. I don't think I've ever begun a basketball season 20-0. In a video game. I'm officially playing the... we're not playing rookie mode here, Gianna. We challenge ourselves right from day one.
Good.
We put that up to all-star right from the rip, and we learn the hard way.
Okay. Do you like restart the game if you're losing by halftime?
No.
That's how I would become 20-0. I was totally that guy.
No.
Like, oh, this game
that's
isn't going
fair.
The way. I know, I hate doing it, but it is something that I unfortunately do.
Once the ball goes up, Danny, that game's underway. You can't, you know, there's no hit and reset buttons on any games of life. Not even video games. Shame on you. Shame on. Do we have the shame bell for the way Danny will hit the reset button?
Give me the shame bell.
Elena, if you can find the button of shame, you push it. Danny's earned it because he pushes the reset button every time he's looking at an 8-point hole going into halftime. If I'm looking at a hole at halftime, I'm trying to dig myself out in the third quarter, Danny.
I got to be honest, it's mostly football games. The football game where I'm down 28.
Oh, you didn't say Madden. I'll push the reset button on that. I'll bang the reset
shame.
Button on that.
Okay.
Shame.
You deserve that, too, this time.
No, I don't.
Shame.
Okay, fine. Just Madden. It's just you. It's just for you. Because you can go on runs. You'll lock into that Madden game where the video game decided you're not winning today.
Right.
Like, this is going to be unfair. Every time you score a touchdown, there's going to be a phantom holding call pulling it back. And we're going to pick you off twice. Even though there was nobody in the vicinity. Trust me. I know. I've been burned before by Madden. It'll happen again. Did you know that if you go through a season right now, and then you go look at your schedule, it'll tell you how many times you reset the game?
Really?
It's like a shame counter.
Oh.
Bob Nightingale does a great job covering Major League Baseball, and there's an awful lot happening this week. He's going to join us next, kind of recap what's happening, what the A's are doing. Zach Greinke, where are you? That's next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now,
now, back to the Damon Bruce Show. Live from the Guardsman Tree Lot at Fort Mason on 95.7 The Game.
You know, we got our tree lot open here. We are selling Christmas trees to raise money for at-risk youth. It is a great charity, long-standing since 1947 here in San Francisco. The holidays officially feel like they're upon us when we're down here. Obviously, we're very deep in the NFL season. We've got the Warriors just with a historic start. So it feels a little weird talking about baseball right now, but indeed, it is time to talk a little baseball. There's an awful lot happening. We're seeing some big money being thrown around. There's an awful lot of courting right now going on of high-priced free agent pitchers, so on and so forth. And to talk about it, we're very happy to welcome in from USA Today, Bob Nightingale, who does a great job covering the grand old game. Bob, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing excellent, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Good to have you on. And I guess the price of pitching officially went up with the David Price signing. That was something else. You look at his success against the American League East. I'm not surprised to see him stay in the American League East. But it's not the Dodgers, and it's not the Giants. So what do you think happens next? Obviously, Greinke's the big name. Where do you think he goes?
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip between the Giants and the Dodgers. I think he's very enamored by the Giants with the clubhouse, everything they have going for him, Bruce Bochy, and the sellout crowds. So I think he's very, very intrigued by them, and I think whoever goes to a 60-year gets him between the Dodgers and Giants. He enjoyed his time in L.A., wouldn't mind going back, but he's a guy who likes to explore different things as well. So he's looking for about $32 million a year. So if someone comes up, you know, 6 years, about $190 million, he's theirs.
How about, you know, can we go for $35 million over five? Do you think if you could offer him a little bit more up front, he'd be willing to give a year? I'm telling you, 6 years for a guy who's 32 with that many miles on him already, it just sounds like you're asking for that horrific contract on the back end.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's a definite risk. This guy knows how to pitch, and I'm sure he and his agents are saying, "And it's a different animal here," and he can do it. He's not gonna break down like some of these other guys. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've never heard the agent who is guaranteeing a breakdown like normal guys. Oh, this guy is impenetrable. He'll never get hurt. We're talking to Bob Nightingale from USA Today. So in any way, do you think the Giants are playing a game of a very expensive chicken here? If Price was on the Dodgers' wish list and they can't wish for him anymore, they want to just drive up the price on Greinke? Or do you think it is legitimate overtones from San Francisco to do this? And then the follow-up question, of course, is if it's not Greinke, where do you think Bobby Evans turns next?
Yeah, no, I think it's very serious. I mean, Price was really just down to two teams. He was between Boston and St. Louis Cardinals, who offered to earn $80 million. But, yeah, Greinke is just, you know, with these two guys. And I think whoever loses out goes after a Johnny Cueto or Jeff Samardzija. I think if the Dodgers lose out, they definitely go after Cueto. If the Giants lose out, then I think they can decide, okay, do you want Cueto more? Do you want a Jeff Samardzija or Mike Leake more?
You know, we've heard a couple of other names, Ben Zobrist, Justin Upton, Yonis Cespedes, all being linked to a little San Francisco Giant interest. If they don't end up with a big-ticket pitcher, do you think they turn around and really try to aggressively get a deal done, maybe add a player like Cespedes? I mean, it just doesn't feel very Giant-y these days to overspend on outfielders.
No, but, you know, they need a big bopper so bad, and that's why I think, you know, Upton or Cespedes, probably more Upton, makes sense. You know, I think on the ultimate wish list, the Giants would love to get, you know, Greinke plus an Upton. If you don't get Greinke, you know, Samardzija and Upton. But I think they would love to get a power hitter in that outfield.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, the A's have made a handful of small moves here, adding Rich Hill and Jed Lowrie, Liam Hendricks. Is there anything that stands out to you as a real difference maker for them, or is this Billy just trying to build a roster that, let's face it, if he doesn't get off to a good start, probably has him trading Sonny Gray by the All-Star game?
Yeah, exactly. I think they, trying to rebuild here. They're not going to contend. Division's too strong. They don't have the pieces. So I think just trying different things and see what works. I think they went for it 2 years ago. Did not work out. And now I think it's just time to rebuild that whole system.
Bob, as you talk to your colleagues and other guys who cover Billy Beane, and I'm sure were, enamored with the whole Moneyball phenomenon when it was during its peak years, is he held in the same regard now as just a couple of seasons ago? I mean, to me, trading away next year's American League runaway MVP is a pretty tough stain to just wash off your resume.
You're probably right. His stock has certainly dropped. They still haven't, been to the World Series. And here's a team like Kansas City Royals now has been, back-to-back World Series. Same thing, a very small market. We're seeing what the St. Louis Cardinals do year after year. So, I agree that his value has dropped just because they haven't been winning. I mean, went for everything, 2 years ago. And it didn't work out. They collapsed that second half. And once they lost that wild card game, that was the end.
Looking at the Chicago Cubs, here's a team that's got about six guys who you can pencil in for 20 and 90, making the major league minimum for the next 3 to 4 years. It's a great situation for them to be in. And I really thought that they were going to be spending like drunken sailors when it came to adding pitching this offseason. If Greinke's going to come down to a coin flip between the Giants and Dodgers, what might happen on the north side of Chicago?
Well, they didn't have enough money to go after Price, and they talked to him and wine and dine him. But when it came down to an offer, they just could not compete. I think they go get John Lackey from the Cardinals, maybe some margin with them, a 2-for-1 somewhere, and believing that, with that kind of starting pitching depth to go with the young guys, then they have a chance. And I think that's what the St. Louis Cardinals, they saw what the Cubs have done the last 2 years. They were coming on 2 years ago. I was a huge year last year. And I think the Cardinals had their eyes on the Cubs. Wait a minute now, we got to do something here to hold these guys off.
Have we already begun our days to pitchers and catchers report countdown? It was a little too early for that even, Bob.
I think a little too early. They may count down to the winter meetings, which is next week. A little easier to add up.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so six and counting till the winter meetings. Thank you very much, Bob. Good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob Nightingale. USA Today, good to have him on. A lot of baseball, man. What the Giants do this offseason is, they got so much money. I mean, I never want to hear about, Giants ever worried about money ever, ever, ever again. They've been printing their own money for the better part of a half decade now. They really have. And how much they throw around this offseason, I guess, will be answered by whether or not Greinke is in a Dodger uniform down in Scottsdale. I mean, that is the prize, and it's the prize that they're after. And I read a column that John Shea put out a couple weeks ago talking about 5 years, $150 million for Greinke. I don't even think that gets it done anymore. I don't think that gets it done. 5 years, 175, 5 years, 180, 5 years, $195 million, 5 years, $200 million. That's insane. But it's baseball. And believe me, they got the money. They got the money. You know what I'm going to do just to show everybody how much of a holiday mood I'm in?
What's that?
At some point in time, I'm going to even talk a little Sharks hockey next hour, Gianna. Just for the five guys on the text line who ask me to every single day.
It's thoughtful.
So that's coming up next hour with a whole bunch more of the Golden State Warriors. Beat writer Rusty Simmons also joining us next hour here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.